Yeah, let's pray and get to God's word. Father God, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you that we can dive into the word of God and that you speak to us. And I pray that you would just move mightily in our hearts. Give us ears to hear what the word of God is going to say to us today and let us respond. Let us not just hear the word, but let us walk in obedience to it. Lord, I pray that you would just use me for whatever purpose you have in just be glorified in the service today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The one initiative. He is the one thing that drives everything we do. And that comes from our scripture. Our main scripture for that is in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. It is called the Shema. This is a prayer that Jews have been praying for thousands of years. And I want you to say this with me. Would you? Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And this is the Shema. This is what we are praying and believing that God is the one thing that drives everything. And we are going to love him. We're going to love him with all of our heart, with all our soul, and with all our might. He is everything. He's the one thing that drives everything. So, we are wrapping up the series, month-long series on the One Initiative, but the One Initiative is not wrapped up. This is just the introduction series that is wrapped up. And as I was thinking about this, and as we're wrapping this up with missions and outreach, I began to think about, okay, we've been hearing all these things all month long, and so what's next? What is our response to what God is calling us to do? What does God want us to do? Because, I mean, church is more than just coming on a Sunday or watching online and sitting and go, oh, yeah, that was great. Oh, I love King of my heart. You know, preach it. Go home and nothing else happens in your life. God's got to be the one thing that drives everything, not just on Sunday morning, but drives everything in your life throughout your life. And so what are we to do with that? And here's what we tend to do when we look at like missions giving, when we look at missions outreach, or when we look at any of these things of the One Initiative, where it's, all right, I'm going to read one chapter a day of God's word, or I'm going to invite one person to church, or I'm going to invest in and disciple one person, or any of these things that we've been talking about. Here's what we do because I do it. And so here's what I do. And you can join me if you're so guilty. We make excuses. We make excuses of why we can't do it. We make excuses. Well, I don't have time to read, or I don't have time to invest. I don't have money to invest into that each month. Do you realize all my bills? Or I don't have this, or I can't do this. And excuses really go back to the garden. Because in the garden, God spoke to Adam and Eve and says, all right, everything you see is yours. You can take care of it. I want you to take care of it. But I don't want you to eat of that tree right there. Don't eat of that tree. And so what they do, they're going along, wow. And the serpent comes and deceives Eve, and they take the fruit, and Adam's right there with him, and they eat of the tree, and then they realize the sin, they realize they're naked, and God comes walking in the garden, calling out to them, and he finds them, and what do? They make excuses, right? Adam says, it's the woman you gave me. So he not only blames the woman, he blames the woman and God. It is the woman that you gave me. And then Eve looks at it up and goes, it's the serpent that, you made. And so we make excuses of why we can't, and it goes back to really when we make excuses, it's really self-centeredness. It's if you think about why, well, I can't, or me, or this, or that, and it's all about you. When we tend to make excuses. And so one of the greatest excuse giver was a guy named Moses. And let me give you a little background with Moses before we get to our passage of scripture here today. The people of God, the Israelites, were in captivity for 400 years. and they were in captivity, and they've been praying and asking God to deliver them from slavery. There was a guy named Pharaoh who was just this ruthless ruler, and he makes this edict that all children under the age of 2 are going to be killed, and so of the Israelites. And so Moses' mom wants to spare him, so she puts him in this basket, goes down the River Nile. The Pharaoh's daughter sees him, pulls him out of the water. That's what Moses' his name means, pulled out of the water. And so he lives and grows up in Pharaoh's house, but he knows he's an Israelite, and he sees as an adult, he becomes a general in the Egyptian army, and he sees the mistreatment of his people. And he looks and he sees that an Egyptian soldier is beating upon a slave, a Jewish slave. And so he goes to intervene, and intervening, he kills the Egyptian soldier. Well, then all of a sudden, he is a murderer, right? And so he runs away, and he runs into the desert to Midian. And this is, he finds a wife there, he begins to live, he becomes a shepherd, and he's been there for 40 years. And this is where God begins to speak. And here's what I like about Scripture. Here's what I like about what God does is this. The Bible shares the backstory of individuals, of people that he uses. And generally, they are messed up people. They are messed up people with failures, with shortcomings, with inabilities, with sin in their life. And I want to encourage you today with this, is that some of you are making excuses that God won't use me for whatever because of what I have done. God can't use me because of this in my life. God won't use me because of this disability, or God won't use me because of this sin. God won't use me. And I'm telling you, Scripture is full of people that have been messed up. They screwed up. I mean, David. Think of King David. A man after God's own heart. The Bible says King David, a man after his own. The dude committed adultery and murdered somebody. God used him. Moses committed murder. God used him. Paul, the great apostle Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, killed Christians. Come on. How many have killed a Christian lately? God can use you. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. And I'm telling you right now, man, he has a purpose for each and every one of us. Not just for me who is a pastor, but God has a purpose and plan for each and every one of you here. If you're watching online, God has a purpose and a plan for your life. He has called each individual in this room. He may not call you to be a pastor. He may not call you to be a worship leader or whatever. But God has a calling upon your life. Don't use excuses. Don't use this, my past. Don't use what if this. God has a plan for your life. Listen to what God's calling you to do and step out in faith to what he's calling you to do. So Moses is in this desert and he's got a few sheep he's attending, and God shows up. And here's another thing too. God tends to show up in your life in the midst of the ordinary. We tend to think, well, I know that God will speak to me when I get to church, and there's a certain song, there's a certain passage, or there's this emotional moment in our life. And that happens sometimes, right? An emotional moment in a worship service. Oh, man, I felt God call me, and da, da, da. But in Scripture, what we see, God shows up in the ordinary. Amen. I mean, Moses is just walking along. Do, 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 do. He's sheep, man. This is my life. And he's walking along, and he sees a bush that is on fire but not being consumed. He goes, huh, that's odd. Let me go check that out. And so he goes over to them, and this is what God begins to speak to him through the burning bush. And he says, I have heard the prayers of my people. He has seen the affliction, and he knows their suffering. Look at this. This is an amazing verse. Exodus 3:7. It'll be right up here on the screen, I think, maybe. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry because of their taskmakers. I know their sufferings. I think there's some of you in this room, and I'm one of them, who've been praying for something for a long time. You've been asking God for a long time for Him to move in your life. I want to just tell you right now, He sees your affliction, He hears your prayer, and He knows your suffering. And you say, well, Dane, that's great, but I'm still in it. Well, we'll look at verse 8. I have come down to deliver them. I'm telling you right now, I believe this is God speaking to some of you here today. You've been praying for a long time. And you think God is not hearing, but He hears. You think God's not seeing, but He sees. You think God doesn't know, but He knows. I'm telling you, to somebody in this room or somebody watching online, He is coming down to deliver you. I believe that. I believe that. So he begins. God moves. And in Exodus 3:10, God begins to tell Moses, all right, this is what I'm going to do. Here's my plan, Moses. And verse 10, he says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So God is calling Moses, who has been on the run for 40 years. He thought his life, he thought his purpose, he thought everything that he was dreaming for as a kid has been gone. But God calls him, he lays it out, he's going to do some amazing things. And he says, all right, Moses, you're my man, you're the guy, you're the person I want to use to accomplish my plan to deliver the Israelites out of people. Now let me stop right there. This is a big ask, is it not? This is not saying, hey, will you read my Bible one chapter a day each day? This is not ask, hey, will you serve in the nursery at least once a month? Well, maybe that might be up on it, you know. This is not asking you, hey, would you come go on a hike and clean up some trash along the way? All those things are great. This is a huge ask. Going back to Egypt, where he committed murder and confronting the most mighty nation at that time, its leader, saying, hey, these Israelites, the millions of them, you got to let them go. Because God spoke to me through this burning bush. It's a big ask. But God is going to do some great things in and through it. So Moses begins with excuses, and I get some of them. I think all of us would, at some point, use some of these excuses. So let me share with you. I got five excuses. Excuse number one, why me? Verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now we get this. If I were Moses, I would have asked the same thing based upon the background that he had. Who am I? Why me? Why are you going to use me? And we've all done this at one point or another when we feel God speaking to our lives. Why me? And we have self-doubt. You got the wrong guy. Because we look at our limitations, we look at our lack of qualifications, we look at who we are, and because we know who we are, we say, you got the wrong guy. I remember when I felt God calling me to be a pastor and lead ministries. And I first started out as a youth pastor, and then God led me to be your pastor. Along the way, I always thought, you got the wrong guy. I remember my first youth group that I led, I looking around at these kids, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then when I came in to be your pastor, I looked at you, and I'm like, holy cow, God. And I think, why me? But God doesn't call the qualified, He qualifies the call. God moves and asks. God responds to Moses in verse 12. He said, but I will be with you. Amen. And this shall be a sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. God answers, why me? He says, I am with you, buddy. Doesn't matter who you are. I am with you. I am with you. And that's what God's saying to us today. I am with you. This plan, this calling, whatever he's calling you to do, I am with you. Excuse number two, I don't have the answers. Verse 13, and Moses said to him, if I come to the people of Israel and say, the God of your fathers sent me to you, and they ask, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And here's the excuse we often bring when it comes to sharing our faith with other people or discipling other people. You know, our response is this with the one initiative is to disciple somebody or tell somebody about Jesus Christ. And we often say, well, I don't have the answers. What we say, I can't really witness to my neighbor because what if they ask me a question that I don't know? What if they bring up some theological response that I don't know? What if they ask about the Trinity? What am I to say then? What if they ask a question and I don't know what to say? There are a lot of believers who say I don't know what to say, so they don't say anything at all. And we have a God who will give us the answer in the time we need it. Amen. And will speak in through us. The issue isn't that you have to know it all. The issue is we need to know who's with us. God responds to verse 14. God says, I am who I am. And he says, say this to the people, I am has sent me to you. So people, he says, say, I am is sent with you. God is the I am. What does that mean? God is who he is. He is the first, the last. He is who he is. He is God. God is with you. He is the ruler of all. He's the Lord of all. He is the I am. The I am is sending you. The ever presence of God. Listen to that again. The ever presence of God is with you. God in us is with us. And if he is with you, if he is sending you, if he will go before you, he will take care of it all. The ever-present I am is with you. And ultimately, that to know that I am with you will make up any lack of knowledge within you. If God is with you, he'll make up for the lack of knowledge within you. Now, this does not mean you have to be ignorant. Ignorant people say, well, I just, you know, going along, I shouldn't study. Or no, you need to study. You need to find out the answers, seek the answers. If somebody asks you a question and you don't know the question, just say, I don't know. Let's find that out. And if it's a really hard question, go to Pastor Michael. You know, right? And he'll say, go to Nan. I am with you. It's sin in you. But don't be ignorant. Find out. Go in God's word. Read God's word. I'm telling you, I've seen this before. Okay, listen. When you read God's word, and you're reading it, and you're studying it, and everything, suddenly there's an opportunity. Somebody asks you a question about what you read that morning. I'm telling you, it happens to me all the time. Somebody comes in your life, something happens in your life, and you're like, oh my goodness, I read about that. Just this morning. Listen, God does that. He opens up opportunities as you read his word. God is with you. He will use you for the glory, his glory and purpose. Excuse number three, what if they don't believe me? After all that God tells Moses what to do, he shares with him all these mighty works. He's talking to him through a burning bush. He is doing these incredible things. And he says, what if they don't believe me? Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Moses asked, behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, the Lord did not appear to you. Here's what I find interesting about this excuse that Moses says. God is speaking to him through this bush. He is telling him exactly what to do. He's saying exactly what he's going to say or what the miracles he's going to perform. He's laying it all out for Moses. He's telling him, I'm not going to go through all of that he's laying out, but you can read on your own. He's laying it all out for him. And look at this. Just before Moses says, what if they won't listen to me? In chapter 3, verse 18, look at what God says. And they will listen to your voice. And you and the elders of Israel shall go to the king of Egypt and say to him, the Lord, the God of Hebrews, has met with us, and now please let us go a three-day journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Moses says, what if they won't listen to me? God just says, they will listen to you. He just said it. Have you ever been around or done this yourself? Somebody's talking to you. You're listening, but you're not listening. You hear the words that are coming out of your mouth, their mouth, but they're not resonating in your mind, in your heart. Possibly you're thinking about the game. I mean, I know wives are punching their husbands and they go, this is you all the time. You know, you're thinking about the game. You're thinking about something else. You're thinking about what you got to do. You're thinking about this. Or you're thinking about the excuse you're going to give. You're thinking about how you're going to respond to what they're saying. And you're really not listening. Right? We've all done it. Really not listening. And here's the thing in this sermon that I'm preaching today. There are some of you who are here today or watching online who have been a Christian longer than I've been alive. And you've read the Bible 100 different times. You've heard this sermon 100 different times. And you're looking at it, and right now, here in this room, or watching online, you're not listening. Because you've heard it before. You say, oh, I've heard, I know where he's going, I know which excuse, and the excuse number, oh, he's just said it in a different way, but I know the excuse, and you're not listening. I'm telling you, God's word speaks each day. It's alive. It doesn't matter if you heard it before. Listen to the word of God. Listen to the word of God. Don't give an excuse. Say, well, I've heard that. I've read that. I've done that. Man, I was sitting down. This was several years ago. I was sitting down with a couple, and they were going through a hardship in their life. They were going through a difficulty in their life and struggles in their life. And I said to the husband, and I said, man, how's your devotional life? Are you reading God's word? And he says, no. I said, well, why not? He goes, well, I've read it before. I don't really need to read it before. I've read it all the way through. And I says, yeah, you're sitting in here with a troubled marriage. Get into God's word. Doesn't matter if you read it before. Say, God, speak to me. Holy Spirit, speak to me. When a sermon comes up that you've heard before, say, God, Holy Spirit, speak to me. I know I've heard this passage before, but speak to me. So God says to him, and I won't read all the way through, but God answers this and says, all right, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, well, it's the staff. All right, Moses, throw it down. So he throws down the staff, and the staff becomes a snake. Moses is in fear because it's a snake. I don't think it was a gardener. I think it was a vicious cobra snake because he ran in fear. This is a shepherd running from a snake. And God says, pick up the snake. So Moses probably went over. You know, picks up the snake, and it turns into a staff again. A stick. God says, what's in your hand? It's a stick. It's a piece of wood. Great. That wood is going to turn the Nile, the blood. That wood is going to separate the Red Sea. And I'm telling you, you may look at your time, you may look at your talents. You may look at your treasures in your life, the abilities in your life, and you say, I don't have any. I don't have time. I don't have any talents. I don't have any treasures. But I'm telling you, if God can use a stick, Amen. He can use you. Amen. Whatever your time is, whatever your talents are, whatever your treasures are, we're going to be starting a series next month on stewardship talking about these things. But if God can say, pick up that stick, I'm going to use it. I'm saying this to you right now. Take your time, take your talents, take your treasures, and I want you to throw them at Jesus. Throw them at his feet and say, this, I'm just giving this to you. I'm giving you my time. I'm giving you my treasures. I'm giving you my talents. I'm throwing them at your feet. And then there will be a point where he says, I want you to pick that up and I'm going to use it. Don't make excuses. God's given you what he's given you for the task. Excuse number four, I don't have what it takes. Verse 10 in chapter 4, but Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow speech and tongue. Most theologians say that Moses had a stuttering problem And that's why he says, I'm not eloquent in speech or slow in speech. Listen, we all have doubts about our inabilities or our abilities. To be transparent with you, I struggle constantly with my shortcomings. Growing up, I was not very good in school at all. I got really poor grades in school, except for PE. That really bumped up my GPA, PE. And pottery. I was somewhat good at pottery. You know, I loved spinning the wheel, man. And then a teacher's aide. Those three classes, man, they saved me. But I kid my kids, and I says, and it's a lot of truth, I have not met a person ever who has a lower ACT score than I got. I struggle. I struggle daily with my inabilities of feeling insecure in my lack of knowledge and things. I struggle with that all the time. And you may not want to lead a small group because you may think, well, somebody in the small group might know more about the Bible than me. You may not want to serve on the worship team because you may think, well, somebody out there may play the guitar better than me or play the drums better than me or sing better than me. You know what? Chances are, you're right. But you are being used by what God's told you to do. What God's told you to do. So don't give the excuse you don't have what it takes. And God says this to Moses in verse 11 or 12. Then the Lord said to them, who has made man his mouth? Who made him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. Most theologians believe that as Moses obeyed and went, his stuttering problem was healed instantly. Again, if the I am, if the presence of God, God is with you. Don't look at your lack of abilities or your inabilities or your shortcomings. God is with you. God is with you. God called you. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of you. And if he says, go and do it, he will do it. If you say, man, I don't have the finances to support even $10 a month to missions. If God is putting it upon your heart to give, give, because he will provide. Amen. He is with you. He is with you. Stop worrying about what others may say or what others may think. The only one you need to worry about is, are you saying yes to what God has called you to do? Yes. And the last excuse, number 5, others are more qualified. Verse 13, but he said, Oh my Lord, please send someone else. Again, I am amazed by this. I'm amazed by this response. Moses is giving, God is audibly speaking to him. Think about that for a minute. God is audibly speaking to him in this bush. He's done some great things, turned this like staff into a snake, made his hand leprosy, and all this cool stuff. And he's saying, send somebody else. And we often think, man, if God came to me and spoke to me like that, I wouldn't make excuses. I wouldn't say no. Wrong. We have the Word of God in our hands. God's Word is in our hands, speaking to us. And we're just like Moses. We're just like Moses. Send somebody else. Somebody else will support the missionaries per month. Somebody else will serve in the preschool. Somebody else will be a part of that outreach. Somebody else will join that team. And somebody else will receive the blessing. Listen, God is calling each of us. Respond to it. Don't make excuses of I'm not qualified or somebody else will do it. God is speaking to you. He's asking you to respond. And if we keep saying no to God, look what God's response is. Verse 14. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he'll be glad in heart. God's anger kindled against Moses. When we keep using excuses, telling you this is scripture, God's anger is kindled against you. When we keep saying no to God, God's anger is kindled. You say, well, Pastor Dane, isn't God a God of grace, God of mercy, God of love? Yes. But God has called each of us to be obedient. And when we say no to what he has called us to do, his anger is kindled against us. Listen, I believe this with all my heart. We are living in the last days. I believe it with all my heart. We are living in the last days. And people are dying and are going to go to hell. And yet we're still making excuses why God can't use us or why we won't be used by God. God says in his word that he's going to come and he's going to separate the sheep from the goat. He's going to come and separate those who are really following him with all their hearts. There's going to be a separation from you. And I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of Christians are going to say, but Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I do that? Didn't I do all this? And he says, I don't know who you are. I'm telling you, walk in obedience to what God's called you to do. And it doesn't have to be with what we're talking about in our one initiative. These are just opportunities for you. But whatever God is calling you to do, listen and obey. Because when you do, blessings come in your life. Blessings come in your life. I'm telling you, blessings come in your life. It doesn't mean it's going to be an easy road. No, it's going to be a hard road. But blessings come in your life. God does some crazy things when you think, man, I can't serve in children's church. But if you start doing it, I'm telling you, those kids will blow you away. Your heart begins to melt for these kids, and you're like, oh, man, I love this ministry. Whatever it is that God's called you to do, God will provide. He will use you. He will bless you. So walk in obedience. Don't make excuses. Say, yes, yes, God, I'm praying about what you're doing, and I'm going to be obedient to it. So would you just, at this time, stand and sing. We're going to close with this song. This is my testimony. And I asked to close with this song because it says these verses, this word, this phrase, whatever, lyric. If I'm not dead, you're not done. You hear that, Ed? Right? If I'm not dead, you're not done. You hear that, Ethan? If God's not dead, or if you're, God's not dead. If you're not dead, God's never dead. God's not done with you. Every single one of us. I'm going to talk about this next week. Ethan and Alyssa, God's spoken there. I asked them, and they said, let's pray about it, and God's going to use them. They're going to run with the 20-somethings ministry, and they're going to do some great things with the 20-somethings ministry. For the 20-somethings are those who are 20 years old, whether college or whatever. They got married, single, whatever. It doesn't matter. If you're 20, you fit in. And they're going to do some great, God's going to do great things in that ministry. Because they said yes. Amen. Say yes to God. Because if God, if you're not dead, God's not done with your life. Let's pray. Father, God, we thank you so much for calling each and every one of us. Thank you for what you're going to do in each and every one of our lives. For your glory, we do it. For your glory. I think that's why you call some of us. It's because there's no way we can do it. It's only by what you can do in us. So, Lord, we lay at your feet our talents, our time, and our treasures, and we will not pick those up until you say yes, until you say, do this, do this, do this. We want to be obedient to what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.